Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Boris Huddle with me, Bram, and with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
I should note before we get started here, because it'll distract me throughout. Marcus is currently fucking us just right now as I speak into this microphone. MT was supposed to be here 10 minutes ago. Just nothing at all. No text. So hopefully he listens. And if he does, MT, this is for you. Fuck you. With that in mind, let's jump into this. Maxime, I have a ton of questions about the additions Golden State have made, right? We know about D'Anthony Melton. We'll be talking about Kyle Anderson. I got some Buddy Hield stuff. But before we look forward, give me a quick look back. This marks the first week of Klay Thompson in a Dallas Mavericks jersey. He gave the introductory news conference. We've seen some of the video and stuff. Have you watched any of it? Like, how do you feel about this stuff?
Yeah, the weirdest thing, it's all weird, but it's basically encapsulated for me in his like white button-up business shirt or whatever. It feels like this guy has graduated college and just got his first real job. I mean, his whole demeanor seems different to me, right? It's like he was just playing around, making paper airplanes, whatever. I know it's an introductory press conference and that's sort of a different experience, but like, I don't know. He feels like weirdly lighter, like, oh, he finally made it. And, you know, this is what he wanted to be, as if the last 12 years were not anything that were important or meaningful to him. And it's freaking me out, man.
I have established myself on this show, but maybe more importantly, through decades of life with my friend base, as being a hater. I am just a hater. My nickname amongst my friend base, this is not a joke or an exaggeration, is The Hater. And it is very well deserved. I hate this shit. I'm not taking it well at all. I watched, 30, 40 seconds of the news conference. And what it felt like was trolling on social media, coming across an ex, and then finding a bunch of pictures of that ex's first date with somebody else and slowly realizing that it's going phenomenally well. And that ex made all the changes they were unwilling to make for me. You know, like Klay Thompson recently came out and said, I don't care about stats. I am here to win games. That's the only thing I want. Where the hell was that last year, dude? Why didn't we get the like, oh, I don't care about stats at all. I don't care about role. I just want to win games. I mean, I understand how a new environment and a refreshed look on life changes these things. That's true, you know, in general. And so, of course, it's going to be true professionally. But I was hoping to turn the page. You know, like hoping to have gained some maturity from that last podcast we did to this one and be like, oh, you know what? I'm just rooting for him. 8 seconds in, I took it hell of hard. In fact, Maxime, here's my updated hater opinion. So part of the Klay experience that we know as Golden State fans, having watched him be successful across the board, is that even though he's probably going to have a really successful season, Klay tends to start seasons ice cold. It's just kind of a thing that happens with him. And when it happens here, we don't care. It was part of the Klay experience. So fine. You know what I hope? I hope that shit happens in Dallas and they freak out. I hope that, because they don't have any experience with it, you know? And so like, I hope he goes bananas cold and then suddenly the whole environment changes. And it's weird. So, yep, I am in fact a hater. In fact, you're my last Clay question. We took to Twitter and I asked for a vote. I asked what percentage of people out there are going to root for Clay in Dallas. And it was a 70-30 split. 70%, maybe a little bit more, said one way or the other, yes, we will or we will not. What's your guess? What do you think the majority said? Will they or will they not vote for Clay?
I don't know if the Twitter vibe is anything like the Reddit vibe, but it's like weirdly positive, like, oh, I'm just here for Clay or whatever. And that's anonymous too. So if that's the indication, I'm going to say 70% said that they're rooting for Clay.
You're 100% right there. yep. Not only that, but some people fired off responses like, if you don't root for him, you never deserved to root for him, or you don't know what you're talking about. I was like, I don't need your stupid, healthy, ridiculous takes. I will hate who I want to hate. I will not root when I don't want to root, and I'm not going to root. It is what it is, man. I am the hater, and I am on board.
It is a weird gatekeeping thing around fandom that's like, you don't get to say that because I'm having feelings about this that I'm therefore not a real fan. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, well, especially if I'm as bitter as I am. All right, enough Clay to the jump. The most important thing that has happened in Warriors basketball in the last, I don't know, couple weeks. And that's somewhat of an exaggeration, but I like that description for the jump. But is a quote that made the rounds this week in Vegas from Steph Curry. So before you play it, I don't want you to listen to it first. Before you play it, I'm going to read it to you because this is what got thrown out in articles everywhere. Steph Curry is in Vegas. He is practicing with the Olympic team and Yahoo sat down with him and they asked him about his future. You know, Clay's not there anymore. What do you think, man? How do you envision your future playing out? Here's what he said. Quote, I mean, I can clearly say I want to be a Warrior for life. It's always been my goal. And I'm saying that sitting in this chair right now. But like you said, life and especially life in the NBA, it's a wild environment and things can change quickly. That's what went out into the biosphere. Did you read that? Did you see that in,
I did. In the media? Your inflections are interesting.
Angry. Yeah. So your first impression, you read that because that's, I shouldn't say angry. When I read the quote, that was the vocal inflection in my mind. You know, like that's what I heard him saying, very deliberately choosing his words and seemingly putting a crack in the relationship between Steph and the Warriors. But when you read it, what was the first impression? How did it make you feel?
Well, this is such a fascinating character study in who we are. I almost want to turn this into a judgment theater because, you know, like I read it glass half full, right? I see the moves that the Warriors have made this offseason. Steph obviously has too. And I think there is a lot of like, well, this isn't done yet. You know, there's a lot more to go here. Of course, I want to retire a Warrior. And also, right, I'm not ready to make a full comment on how we're doing this offseason because a lot could still change.
I understand. So what? You heard it and thought like he was happy with what was going down?
I wouldn't say that he's necessarily. There's the sense Steph doesn't talk like this to the media really ever. He doesn't exert his organizational influence through the media like LeBron does. At all. We know that he has conversations behind the scenes. We know that he is a huge figure in how the front office moves for Golden State. But this is a different type of thing for Steph Curry. There is for sure, no question, doesn't matter if you're reading it or if he's saying it himself, whatever intonation there is, he's exerting pressure in a new way. This is important.
Well, define pressure. I mean, when we say that, when we use LeBron as the example, because he is the example, what LeBron says is, build this team or I will leave. And he's shown that he will. He's done it two times, right? Three times, I guess, because he went back to Cleveland. And Steph's never done that. He's never been that guy. What you just identified is what the hell I'm worried about, Maxine, when I read this. You know, for the first time, Steph's been asked, you know, where do you want to play for your career 1,000 times? And 1,000 times he has said, here. Period. That's it. There's no pressure. There's no threat. There's nothing about things changing quickly. I'd like to play here. This is the first time that I thought the exact name you said, LeBron, which made me panic, man. You know, I don't like that at all. That I read this and thought, well, he just watched Clay leave. He just watched them go after Paul George, swing and miss. They're currently doing whatever the hell it is they're doing with Lori Markkinen. No signs of that immediately coming back. And so I read this and went to Panic Town. It sounded like you didn't. Let's hear it in Steph Curry's vocal inflection, not mine.
Once training camp starts,
well, Steve said it yesterday. We all want things to end a certain way, but it doesn't always end that way. LeBron has switched teams. You've had Kevin as a teammate, not having him as a teammate. You see changes in professional sports. Do you want to be that person that says, I'm staying with one franchise for my entire career, or is it just contingent upon where the franchise is?
Yeah, I mean, I can clearly say I want to be a Warrior for life. That's always been my goal. And I'm saying that sitting in this chair right now. But like you said, life and especially life in the NBA, it is a wild environment and things change quickly and the league has changed quickly. So we're trying to adapt and evolve. Until I'll let everybody know if that changes. But right now, like, of course, the goal is always to be to finish my career with one team.
So what changes when we hear that for me? One, why the hell wasn't his whole quote printed in these articles? That last sentence is huge. What is the most important thing he says. He underlines it a couple of times. The idea that they cheer him, I understand why they didn't. You wouldn't get the clicks, you know, but they talk about an important portion of that. And then also hearing him talk, when I read the quote, what I thought he was doing was talking to the Warriors between the lines when he said, things change quickly. When I hear the quote and watch him interact with that reporter, I don't think that anymore. Now I think who he's talking to is the fucking reporter. The reporter in the question brings up that things change quickly, and Steph's just acknowledging that. He's hearing what he said and then incorporating that in his answer. And then after he does, that's why that last line is so important, then he doubles back down where he started. But, you know, I'd like to be here forever. So hearing the quote calmed me down. But I think the lesson's still important, even if Steph isn't yet pulling the LeBron. I hope that this still rang out as a reminder of there's no guarantee he's staying here. You know, like, in fact, we've spent all of this time looking back with Steph and, you know, gosh, wouldn't it be phenomenal if he just wants to stay here because of everything he's done? And that speaks to me. But what I hope the Warriors front office is also doing is looking forward. You want him to stay because of what he's done here. But I hope you also want him to stay because what we're going to do for you here, you know, we're going to build this team around you. We are going to continue to give you opportunities. And I hope if he didn't say it directly, I hope that's still what they heard, if that makes any sense.
Sure. I think it makes complete sense. And like I was saying earlier, you have to look at who Steph has been in the media to get a sense of how important this is in terms of him trying to exert leverage. The fact that he's saying anything at all is what matters here. But I think it's also important to remember, like, Lacob consistently has spent at the top of the league. In fact, one might argue that the whole CBA that we're now dealing with a second apron bullshit is entirely because of what Golden State has done recently.
Was, yeah.
And so Lacob is for sure smart enough to know that Chase Center only exists because of Steph Curry. It's not because of Joe Lacob. It's not because of Bob Meyer, Steve Kerr. It's because of Steph Curry. They're going to do whatever they can to continue making sure that that arena makes money for them. And Curry finishing his career in Golden State makes money for them, makes the most amount of money for them. Steph being happy so that he stays in Golden State makes the most money for them. All of this stuff, like, there's no doubt this front office doesn't need to hear what Steph is saying in order to make it happen. Now, do other players need to hear it? Are there other things that I don't even understand about the chess moves that Steph is, you know, Steph is currently hanging out with LeBron? What are they talking about behind the scenes and, you know, exchanging ideas about how this all works while they're, you know, together for weeks in Vegas? There is a lot that this could be doing to exert influence besides the ownership group of Golden State, which, again, to reiterate, I think will do absolutely everything to surround Steph with the opportunity to win. They know just as well as the rest of us that somebody of Steph's caliber comes along once in a lifetime.
You answered it already in that, but I'm gonna ask the question just to put a finer point on it. Do you wish, so what we just went through is Steph didn't really go LeBron, you know, and then we thought he could, and you can, there's some shades, but he didn't come straight out, you know. LeBron's passive aggressive, but he's still, you can understand his message pretty quickly. Do you wish or do you think it's necessary for Steph to do that? Would you like him to come out and say, you know, hey, my title window's closing here. You know, I wouldn't mind some more help. Or do you think that would help this team?
So the last thing that you said is a very interesting question. Would it help this team? Right. So first of all, let me backtrack because I think there's something right. He at the end in the sentence that got cut off, which I agree with you is the most important part of that whole quote. He used an important word. He used we, not I. He is speaking on behalf of this organization. He is working with the organization. The key difference between him and LeBron is he never did the decision. He never went to a different franchise and then tried to exert his influence and went to another, went back and then went to the Lakers to try to exert his influence. Steph doesn't need that because Steph has it, right? Steph has everybody's ear. No question he runs the show if he wants to. So he doesn't need to do it publicly. Now, the question, would exerting influence in the LeBron fashion end up doing being a positive thing for the organization? I really don't know. I would put it back to you because I don't machinate the way that you do, so I don't actually have a good answer for that, and I feel like you would.
My goal now is to use the phrase machinate at some point before this podcast ends, which I will most likely not be able to reach. We'll see. The thing that spoke to me about your previous answer, man, our view, let me start that over. When LeBron did that shit, he was doing it to apathetic front offices, or he was doing it to front offices who he viewed were sitting on their hands. I hope you are right in your description of Golden State, that Lacob doesn't need anyone to prod him, that, you know, Mike D already knows these guys are championship or bust, that they don't need some shit in the media to make sure that they are doing everything in their power. We'll find out, you know? So as of right now, do I wish Steph Curry was doing that? No. I still trust them and think that they'll get there. If we get through the end of this like slalom course and they go 0-for-3 on Paul George, Lauri Markkanen, and then to a lesser extent, Brandon Ingram. Well, you know, let's revisit it. But as of right now, no, I don't think it's necessary. And perfect setup. Let's go to our glass half full. So generally speaking, glass half full, we look back at recent Warriors basketball, give you something like, and we don't. And we've been without Warriors basketball for a while, so we haven't really been able to do this segment in the way I'd like. But we've got some real basketball news now. There's these three signings. So what I'm going to do is go through all three signings and we'll give you something you like or don't about each. Here's our first. D'Anthony Melton. The Warriors signed D'Anthony Melton. 6'1", seventh year guard. Spent a little bit of time in Phoenix and Memphis. I remember when we played against him in Memphis during a playoff series. And then he spent the last 2 years in Philly. Last year, 26.9 minutes per game, 11 points per game, and 36% from the field. Really defensive presence. Yeah, I mean, he can shoot a little bit, but that's not why you bring in D'Anthony Melton. And to underline that, he averaged 1.6 steals per game. Maxime, like or don't, man? What do you think? Give me something glass half full or empty on Mr. Melton.
I mean, the glass half full sort of speaks for itself. He started for the Philadelphia 76ers. It's fantastic to get somebody on that scale of a contract. What was it, $12 million for 1 year, who's going to be a starter? Amazing, right? And the defensive presence, fantastic. There's a key number that I feel like was left off the stats that you read off. That's games played, 38 last year. There is an injury concern here that is why it's such a low number. I think it was a spinal injury to his lumbar spine. Back stuff is not something to mess around with. That has me concerned. So ultimately, it's a glass half empty thing because these feel like the types of contracts that we've seen before. They're these 1 year deals on players that we're taking a flyer on. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but they never really be our difference makers. Maybe GP2 is the exception that comes to mind here, but in general, it's more like Dario Saric, who kind of looks cool and then flames out. So in this situation, I'm a little bit worried. I'm a little bit worried that he's going to get our hopes up and then play 38 games and not be there when it really matters and just be a $12 anchor on our contract.
I mean, I'll start with the thing I don't. It was going to be the 38 games played, so I can't use that. Instead, I'll say, I don't like how you phrase that. You could have just been like, here's a stat, and then thrown it out and have to be like, here's a stat you left out. That right. Felt like a very aggressive, totally unnecessary shot at me, which I did not like. What I like, Ball Hawk. That's what this guy is factually accurate. I mean, fuck, I told you it's my nickname, dude. But with D'Anthony Melton, they were bringing in another guy whose principal role is perimeter defense. Since Clay got hurt, I mean, you know, we're talking a few years before we had anybody of his defensive caliber out on the perimeter, with the maybe the exception of GP2, who also has his injury limits. So I like it. I like the signing, and we didn't give him too much. I mean, the deal itself plays out well. In fact, I didn't write down those numbers. Can you Google that for me? Have you got a computer in front of you? What's his deal?
He got a 1 year, $12.8 million contract.
Yeah, there you go. So I like the signing a lot. No real risk. If this ends up being an injury problem or it doesn't fit the system, 1 year is nothing. So overall, thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, right, another name to throw out there in terms of perimeter lockdown defense is Wiggins, who for brief stretches, when it really, really mattered, might have been the best defender against Luka in the whole NBA. So was D'Anthony Melton going to be able to step up to that task? Probably not. But is he going to do better than whatever Wiggins, the shell of Wiggins, is now? Probably. So overall, I'm excited for what the defensive component will be when he's on the court.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 per pound. Then get 10 for $10 during our sale on items like Lay's Stacks, Rice-A-Roni, and Sparkling Ice Sparkling Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Leads to a bet. So I was listening to a spot from Anthony Slater on The Game this morning. In fact, he was on The Morning Roast with friends of podcast Bonte, and I think it was Spadoni today. But what Slater was saying, and they asked him about a possible starting lineup, is that he anticipated D'Anthony Melton maybe being the starting shooting guard. So my betting question for you is, who gets more starts next year, and Andrew Wiggins or D'Anthony Melton? Because there's a world in which Wiggins plays the two. If we would really like to develop JK, and Draymond is certainly playing, and we want to play with a center, then Wiggins being at the two would be the way that you can make that happen. So as we sit here right now, who gets more starts? Andrew Wiggins or D'Anthony Melton? I'll take this one first. I say Wiggins. I think that most of their hopes, although unfair way to say that, a lot of Golden State's hopes next year are silently based on a huge resurgence from Andrew Wiggins. And I think that Andrew Wiggins is still going to be asked to be the point of defense. I think he's going to be asked to take on all the most important defensive assignments, at least to begin the year, in hopes that, you know, he's somehow back. And so with that optimism, I think Wiggins finds his shit. They have D'Anthony as more of an off the bench kind of guy, and Wiggins gets more starts. You agree?
I do agree. And, you know, we can leave the injury conversation aside, because that would, you know, if he plays 38 games, Wiggins is going to be starting more. But it's also, I saw a quote recently from Steve Kerr saying that he was interested in playing Pajemski more at the point, and seeing him not just sort of playing off ball, but actually playmaking. And he thinks that he's ready to take that jump, which that in combination with him, Pajemski being a part of the select team, And really making an impact in that scrimmage against the Dream Team starters makes me think that both Kerr has some faith in him based on what he's seeing, and also that Pajemski is ready to make that leap. So that just pushes D'Anthony Melton a little bit further back in the pecking order.
I kind of like that they're doing that. So as part of that in Vegas thing, they obviously got to get the Olympic team ready to go, and they fielded a select team that had people like Cooper Flagg. There's preps on there as well. But just like Maxime just broke down, Pods and TJD are on that team. And it's the kind of experience you can't pay for. You know, like NBA players don't, they, we used to hear about Hakeem's camp. That shit doesn't happen anymore. There's not places necessarily you can send NBA guys when they're young to make sure they're getting that like diamond cuts diamond competition. And if you can find one that's better than the Olympic select camp, I'm not sure what it is. So I like it a lot. To our second edition, Kyle Slow-Mo Anderson, 6'9", 10th year forward, spent his last 2 years in Minnesota. They gave him a 3-year, $27 million deal, so about nine per. Last year, 22.6 minutes per game. He is more of a between the lines contributor, right? So his stats don't jump off the page. 6.4 points on 46% shooting, not really a three-point guy. 22.9%. But the thing I like, and that's what I'll say on this, like, he's good at making decisions. He doesn't panic. He's a real vet. And in Kerr's read and react system, I think he's a very solid addition. I think he'll be able to he won't be Kelly Oubre. He's going to get this and he's going to contribute pretty quickly. And another defensive guy who adds some toughness. You know, this time front court, his defense won't be on the perimeter as much, but he's that kind of guy who he shouldn't be as successful as he is in low post defense. He really annoys you when you're playing against him. And so again, not a world beating addition, but a good one. I like it.
I agree. I think, to echo everything that you said, right? It's the read and react kind of thing, but the nickname is important here. For those who don't know, Slow-Mo, it comes from the pace at which he plays sort of on ball, right? His ability to make decisions is weirdly slow. And if you watch him, that's totally exactly what's happening. And I think it freaks people out. So it's kind of cool to have that tool in your arsenal to sort of shift how the offense moves. I will also give you an anecdote that I think is really important, which is that I once went to a conference in Washington, D.C. and talked to a guy behind a booth who was making crazy rockets for defense stuff. And he was like, hey, I see that you're an NBA guy. I was wearing a Warriors shirt. And he's like, hey, I really like Kyle Anderson. I actually got to know him when he was in high school. And, you know, he grew up with my kid. And, you know, isn't he an amazing player? He's just the nicest guy. So shout out to if rocket engineers are into Slow-Mo, I think there's reason to be optimistic.
You took me on a roller coaster right there through that story. I thought for sure it would have nothing to do with Kyle Anderson when we were talking about rockets. Then it did. Then I was like, does this guy know Kyle Anderson? He did not. It was just a random fan of Kyle Anderson. So.
No, he went to school with his kid. They knew each other.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, okay. I guess you lost me somewhere on the roller coaster. That is unfortunately my fault. My bet for Kyle Anderson. All right. You had to bet something significant for you. Who hates Rudy Gobert more, Draymond Green or Slow-Mo? Because for people who may not remember, I mean, everything was fucking kumbaya last year in Minnesota when they had success. But that first year when everyone decided that the Gobert trade was the worst possible and they were, you know, middling around and not going towards the playoffs, I don't even think, there was an instance where Slow-Mo and Rudy Gobert got into it during a timeout where, like, Gobert hits Slow-Mo in the chest and then Kyle Anderson chases him down into the tunnel, which was a very entertaining thing. So, I mean, we'll never really know. I mean, I don't think either of them are going to be asked this question. But if you had to guess, who do you think hates him more?
I think I do know. It's got to be Kyle Anderson. I don't remember who told the story, but and maybe you do. Do you remember this story? Somebody talked about during film sessions, Gobert
Austin Rivers soup.
Ah, yeah. Yes. The soup. That's right. We talked about it on the pod. The soup slurping story. This is what it is, right? Draymond's frustration is maybe just like hating the French or thinking that he's a goober or whatever, but it's from afar, right? There's a certain, when you work with somebody every day and they drive you fucking crazy, that's what leads to the type of altercation that we saw on the bench. Like there's the simmering misery of Kyle Anderson's feelings towards Gobert is got to be way, way stronger than Draymond.
Shit didn't feel that much afar when he was strangling him for however many minutes it was, dude. Like the 2.5 minute clip of Draymond trying to rip Rudy Gobert's head off of his shoulders. I don't know.
Look, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. But you're going Draymond. Oh, interesting. See, the thing for me is I don't know Slow-Mo's rap sheet as well as I know Draymond's, but like Draymond has had significant altercations with many people in the league, right? So this is just like a little bit more par for the course with Draymond, whereas Slow-Mo, like, I get the sense that he's more of a level-headed dude, and so he really freaked out on him.
You know what we really need is some kind of like breakdown of the footage of Draymond attacking Gobert, but not focusing on those two, focusing on what the hell Kyle Anderson was doing during that. Because, you know, like, if they get him slowly like pumping his fist, like, yes, dude, F that French fucking soup slurper, then we'll know. You know, and then like, there you go. Like, we'll know 100%. So open question.
I'm for sure signing a $27 million 3-year deal with Golden State the next chance I get.
The second he became a free agent, you know, like Minnesota came in, they're like, we'd like to re-up. He's like, fuck you. Like, I'm out of here. Where's Draymond playing? I don't care. Like, if he moved, I don't care. I'm in. We're going with him. We're going to call our team the F the Rudies. Our last addition, Buddy Hield, 6'4", 12th year guard, which I was surprised to see. It does not feel like Buddy Hield is entering into his 12th season, but he is. He spent forever in Sacramento, played for the Pacers and the 76ers more recently, played all 82 games last year, averaged about 25 minutes, 12 points on 38% shooting from three, which is who he is. Yeah. Like, don't. He has always been a good stats, no real wins guy. When he was in Sacramento, he could shoot the lights out, but they never really translated into anything. Last year, when he had an opportunity to really perform in the playoffs for the 76ers, didn't really show up that much. So he's not someone you could 100% count on. Like, this team, Maxime, desperately needs spacing. We didn't have a lot of shooters last year, and the second best shooter just left. So, and that's, it feels like that isn't true because Steph Curry, the greatest shooter on earth, is in Golden State. That continues, obviously, to be the truth. But you get beyond Steph, and especially with Clay out of here, we do not have that much shooting, and that's what Buddy does. So I'll put it a different way. Last week, we spent some time making up a new player, Trey Mompson, right? It's Trey, or it's Clay, but without all the emotion, just the stats. Between Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, and D'Anthony Melton, they've done more than replace Trey Mompson, you know, and that's what I like about these deals. Now, it doesn't help us through the emotional shit, and you can't. There's nothing that can do that. But they're spending a lot less money on the same stats right now, so I'm on board for it. What do you think about the Hield signing?
For that number, 2 years, $21 million, that's great. I think that's a very reasonable contract. I think we got to remember that Clay is not the Clay of old. I think Buddy Hield is going to be as impactful as Klay Thompson was or will be for the Warriors, and we're getting him at basically half price. Awesome. Am I super excited about that? Not really.
Let's get to our bet. Points per game next year. Klay Thompson versus Buddy Hield. Who do you take?
Oof. I take Klay Thompson. I think Klay is much more likely to be in the starting lineup for the Dallas Mavericks than Buddy Hield will be for the Warriors.
Optimistically, I'm going to say Clay, and I think I've already established that. It doesn't mean I'm hoping that Clay does really well. If Buddy Hield is that much of an offensive guy for us, this season has not either. Buddy Hield has had some incredible leap that none of us expected, and things are going incredibly well for us. Or there was an injury or something didn't really go well, and the minutes weren't really distributed exactly as we wanted, and this didn't fall into place the way we were hoping. So I will say Clay, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than we previously thought, especially if, you know, Clay's being his best new self, not caring about stats, and is just over there doing whatever it is they need him to do to win.
Okay, sure. That's right. Like, we know enough of who Clay Thompson is to know that you say those sorts of things because you're with a new team and you got Kyrie in your ear, whatever. Like, when the lights go on and things get heated, he's got a long history of being Clay Thompson, and he's not going to change.
What he's lost is a sympathetic ear. You know, you touched on this a little bit last week, but like last year when he was having downtimes and complained, as a fan base who's gone through all the success with him, watching him not succeed and then be upset about it, I could associate with. And so, like, I wanted him to play better, and it got some emotion out of me, but like, it wasn't just like, no, play better. There was a, I still love you, and like, we're going through this together, and I understand how it would hurt. Dallas does not have
any history with Clay. There is none of that. Nope. So if he has some period of time where he's not playing well and he comes out and says anything but things are going to turn around, they're not going to be looking at it through that emotional lens. There isn't the like, oh, we went through this together portion. There's just the, you're supposed to be Clay goddamn Thompson. What's happening? And so, yeah, we'll see. We will see how that plays out. Put it all together for me, Maxime. And hopefully this is incomplete. There feels like maybe there's another step that's coming. But looking at the offseason right now, glass half full, what do you got? No. The glass half full, the segment, not only sure. Positivity. Looking at it, you know, like or don't.
This is at best, assuming, so if we're saying this is the roster that we're going into the new year, into the new season, this is at best a play-in team. So glass half empty, frankly. I don't, and as we've said before, there are scenarios in which that is okay because we still have Steph. It's an opportunity to ride into the sunset. However, as you sent out on Twitter, if Clay leaves, that calculate, well, Clay has left. Since Clay has left, and I think people didn't understand that in your tweet, since Clay has left, that is no longer a scenario that is acceptable because it's not keeping the big three together and riding off into the sunset. This completely changes it. Now you got to go for it because you no longer have one of the Splash Bros. So I think overall it's a glass half empty if this incomplete turns into the complete roster.
I'll start with a like. All of these guys are legit real NBA players. These are not minimum deals. These are not guys you've brought in to go sit at the end of the bench. This isn't Ty Jerome. This isn't Anthony Lamb. These are guys who have been counted on in the past, have delivered, will be counted on in this season, and will deliver. I like that. They are building a real NBA roster. I have no idea what kind of NBA roster they are building. We talked last week about lanes. I did. You know, the various lanes that the Warriors could be occupying right now. We talked about the lanes of the total teardown, you know, where they would whisper about maybe trading Steph. That those whispers have not happened. Good. He deserves to stay here. We spent a whole time talking about how I'd freak out if he left. So that lane, gone. Other lane, victory lap lane. You know, we just bask in what's already happened. Fine. We build statues and sit around them, and we don't care if they win or lose. We watch Steph, Clay, and Dre get old together. We think about old times, and we celebrate them. All right, that lane. Done. They traded Clay. That leaves the third lane. We're all in. We are all in. If the first lane was building for the future, we're not doing that now. That means the present. It means right now. Steph is here right now. We build. Well, if the way you're building is Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, and D'Anthony Melton, that's mediocrity. That's worst case scenario. You know, that's forever being in that play-in range where you're never going to be towards the top of the draft and you can never get out of it. So I'm hoping, like I said, incomplete. There's, you know, like as we speak, Mike D may be on the phone, you know, talking with Danny Ainge right now. There might be another move coming. But if there isn't, if this is where we land, I don't know. I don't, you know, like it's okay. But that's okay is exactly where you do not want to be. That's the place we need to avoid.
Right, that's play-in team. That's dead middle of the league, which is the worst-case scenario. Look, this team will have a defensive identity. I'm excited about that. This team will continue to have the greatest shooter of all time. I'm also excited about that. However, they would box and want him now multiple times since that Toronto 2019 finals round because he's the only one on the court. Buddy Hield is not as good as Klay Thompson was in 2019. That's just the truth of the matter. Sure. So the way this works now in this NBA, it's not a big three or a big four because of all of this crap with the CBA. So it has to be a big two. We don't have a second big, not in the sense of a center, but we don't have a number two option that is elite the way that Klay Thompson was in his prime. And that's not enough of a team for anything interesting.
The title addition to this team. This is how it goes. We don't bring another person in. The title addition to this team is fourth year JK. And that's what they got to be banking on. Yep. You know, that like, nope, we've seen one through 3 years of Kuminga, but we haven't seen fourth year and he is going to be an unbelievable jump. I mean, like, that's what they have to be counting on if this is how it goes forward. I believe in him a lot. I think that's a pretty big ask.
to lean on him in that way. But we'll see. It is incomplete.
I would say, so the name that just popped up for me is Tyrese Maxey, who just completed his fourth season, took a big leap, right? The Sixers were like, hey, it's okay, right? We can move on this is the guy that we can have as the second option behind Embiid. Everybody was very excited. He took a big leap. The Sixers did not make it to the finals at all. So yes, it's one thing to make a huge leap. It's one, like, I don't think that he's necessarily going to be, I don't know. I think the ceiling of his fourth year is Tyrese Maxey level leap. And evidently that was not enough for the Sixers to make it out of a weaker conference.
Sure. Or Jaylen Brown. That's the one we all want to talk about. You know where they didn't go in the fourth year? Jaylen Brown's. The Celtics did not win the title. They did not. Now, the easy get back is neither the 76ers nor the Celtics had Steph Curry. You know? That's what you got to bank on is we at the top. We are, you know, we're much more elite than any of these other middling teams, but the point stands, man. This isn't a foolproof. I guess we'll see. I'm a little worried, but I guess we will see. All right. If you have a question for us to answer, you have an opinion on how we did, you think we did a good job, bad job, any job, you can shoot us an email to
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
I forgot the word I was supposed to use. I didn't write it down. What was it? Do you remember?
Machinate? I don't even remember.
Yeah, shit. Well,
bummer.
Went over on that one. You can't win them all. If you want to look at us on social media, we are everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, wherever. Look us up. We'll pop up. We're also on Patreon, where if you support us, you will be one of the only things I don't hate. Well, I will love you in a way that I cannot tell you. And with that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you real soon.
Good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 per pound. Then get 10 for $10 during our sale on items like Lay's Stacks, Rice-A-Roni, and Sparkling Ice Sparkling Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.